Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Nun Chet Amud Bet, two lines up from the bottom with Rav Sharabia. The Gemara is continuing to discuss who is the author of the Mishnah that we brought down. We had a Mishnah to discuss the placement of the Barachah Shnia Shel Ketoret that has to be 4 amot off the southwestern corner. So the Gemara wants to know who really is the author of this Mishnah. The attempt was to figure out that it was Rabbi Yossi, and that would be a proof to the fact that Rabbi Zera says, I know that Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yossi believes that Kulim is Beach B'Tzafon, but I bet you it's found somewhere in the Mishnah. So the claim was that this Mishnah was the Mishnah that showed us that Rabbi Yossi is of that opinion, that Kulim is Beach B'Tzafon. So the Gemara went through why it had to be Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara then gave a second alternative, which was Amar Avada Bar Ava, that it's really Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes that the Beach is Mimutza, is exactly equal in the middle of the Azara. And nevertheless, he could still have this opinion based on the fact of where you start counting the 4 amot. Now here's a third attempt to determine who is the author of this Mishnah. That's Rav Sharavi Amar, Hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi. That the author of this Mishnah is actually Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Titanya, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Mitoch Shen Emar, it says, Venatata et Kior Ben Oel Moed Uvena Mizbeach, that yet the placement of the Kior has between the Oel Moed and the Mizbeach. So that's one piece of information that we have. The Pasuk also says, that Mizbach Haula Sam Petach Mishkan Oel Moed, that the Mizbeach has to be opposite the doorway to the Petach, to the Ol Moed. So you have two pieces of information in terms of locating the Kelim or the Mizbeach in the Mikdash. The Kior must be found between the Mizbeach and the Ol Moed. In addition, the Mizbeach itself must be outside the Petach Ol Moed. How do I reconcile, how do I accomplish both of those items? Below Kior, but Petach Ol Moed. On the other hand, when it comes to being what's in front of the doorway, it must be the Mizbeach that's in front of the doorway, and not the Kior that's in front of the doorway. Heichan haya notno. So where do you place the Kior? Ben ulam la Mizbeach, between the ulam and the Mizbeach, mashuch kim al kalfei derom. It's pulled a little bit to the south. I mean, a little bit to the south means south of the Mizbeach entirely. We cannot accomplish what the Pesukim are asking from us. The Pesukim are asking from us to have both Mizbeach, Petach o Moed, not the Kior in between them. In addition, we want the Kior between the ulam and the Mizbeach. So the Braita suggests over here that the Kior must be pulled a little south of the Mizbeach. It is between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, but not literally between them. It's in the space that would have been between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, but the Mizbeach is a little north of that location. So why is that? So now I want to know, Micah Sover, what does Rabbi Yossi Aglili hold that brings him to this conclusion? So I actually sent out charts that go along with this, which would be helpful if you want to see also in visual form what we're about to discuss. Ikas Havar Kulim Mizbeach B'Darom Koi. If you think that the Mizbeach is entirely in the south, this is in the first picture that you say, Nukme Mikote Echalu Darom. Now, if you think the entire Mizbeach is in the south, then the Mizbeach being in front of the Petach Ol Moed is only for the first 5 amot of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is 32 amot by 32 amot. So the first 5 amot on the northern end of the Mizbeach are in front of the Petach Ol Moed now, because it reaches to the midpoint of the Azara. And since the Petach HaYichal is 10 amot wide, 5 amot of that are in the north, 5 amot of that are in the south. So the Mizbeach is sitting on the line that divides between the south and the north. Then the Mizbeach, the first 5 amot of the Mizbeach are opposite Petach Ol Moed. So we've accomplished one of the Psukim, which is that it should be Mizbeach HaOlah be Petach Ol Moed. In addition, we now need the Kior to be between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Well, no problem. You have an additional 27 Amot to the south, where the Mizbeach is opposite the Ulam, or opposite the Ol Moed, and there is nothing blocking it. I mean, there's no reason not to put it there. It's not in front of the Petach Ol Moed. It's not causing any problems for the Mizbeach. So why didn't you put it over there? That's what Gemara says. Nukme Yikote Yichalo Darom Ben Ulam Mizbeach. V'inamikasavar. What are you going to say? Kedushat Heichal V'Ulam Chadohi. So as you can see in the picture number 2, even if you think that the Ulam and the Eichal have the same din, which means that the Petach Ulam is where the Mizbeach has to be opposite, and the Kior cannot interrupt between that location, well, the Petach Ulam is 20 amot wide, 10 of them in the north side, 10 of them in the south side. So if the Mizbeach is sitting on that dividing line all the way to the south, that means that the first 10 amot of the Mizbeach are opposite the Petach Ulam, or what we will call now Petach Ol Moed, since it's Chadak Dushahi. And therefore, there's a remaining 22 amot of the Mizbeach that are not opposite the doorway. So now we've accomplished the pasuk of having the Mizbeach opposite the doorway. Plus, we have another 22 amot where you could stick the Kior south of there that you could put between the Mizbeach and the Ulam and you'd have no problem. So if guess what the Gemara says here. Ina mikasavak dushay chav ulam chadoyi nuk maybe kotu ulam aludaron. Beben ulam the Mizbeach and you have no problem. So Inami, so now what are you going to suggest? Savar chetzio b'tzafon v'chetzio b'darom, that this Tana holds that half the Mizbeach is in the north and half the Mizbeach is in the south. Well, let's think about that again. If the Mizbeach sits on the dividing line between the north and the south, that means 16 amot of the Mizbeach are towards the north and 16 amot of the Mizbeach are towards the south. Again, if you look at the Petach Eichal, the doorway into the Eichal is 10 amot wide, 5 in the south, 5 in the north. So on the southern side, you could take the first 5 amot after the dividing line. So the first 16 amot are in the north. So now we're not discussing. Then there's 5 amot that are opposite the doorway in the south. That's 21 amot. But that means the Mizbech, which is 32 amot long, has an additional 11 amot to the south where it's not facing the doorway. So now you have the Mizbech that's opposite the Petach Omoed, an additional 11 amot to the south where you could place the Kior and accomplish having the Kior ben HaMizbech uben Ulam. And that's what the Gemara says here. If you think that the Mizbech is situated that between the north and the south, you can go from the wall of the Cheichal after the doorway ends to the south, Ben Ulam Mizbeach, and you'd be fine in those 11 Amot. Ve'inami, that was in picture number 3 that we saw. Now in picture number 4, Inami Kasavar Kedushat Ulam Ve'ichal Chadohi. If you think that the Eichal and the Ulam have the same Kedusha, that means that the opening into the Ulam is 20 Amot wide. Then again, let's do the calculation. 16 Amot in the Mizbeach in the north, so that we're not discussing. The Petach Ulam is 20 Amot wide, 10 in the north, 10 in the south. That means there's an additional 10 Amot where the Mizbeach is opposite the doorway to the Ulam. So 10 plus 16 is 26 Amot. So the first 26 Amot from the north down in the Mizbeach are either in the north or opposite the doorway. But then there's still 26 to 32. There's an additional 6 amot that sit south of the doorway to the ulam, which are still between the Mizbeach and the ulam. So why not place the kior in that location that is south of the petach ulam that's still between it and the Mizbeach? And that's what the Gemara says. Even if you hold when it's chetzi b'tzafon chetzi b'drom, and you think from the beginning of the wall of the ulam to the south, and you won't have a problem. It must be that Rabbi Yosef Lili believes the entire Mizbeach is in the north. Well, if the entire Mizbeach is in the north, that means that only the first 5 amot of the Mizbeach on the southern end of the Mizbeach are actually in front of the doorway to the Heichal. There's 5 amot that face the doorway, but then the additional after that, there's another 27 amot to the north of the Mizbeach, which are outside the doorway to the Petach Heichal. So the Gemara says, if you look at this in picture 5, you can see this. If you have the 5 amot in the south being opposite the doorway, then the 27 amot north of that you should be able to use to place the kior between the ulam and the Mizbeach. So that's what the Gemara asks again. So, okay, Elah Mishum to Kasavar Kulim Mizbeach Betzafon. Gemara says, Ki Nami Mukman Ba Mikote Echal Betzafon. Why not then just put the Kior? Even if you think he thinks it's all in the north, the Mizbeach, you still place the Kior between the Mizbeach, north of the Heichal doorway, and between it and the Ulam. So, Amalei, Ben Ulam and the Mizbeach. Right, again, here the Girsa is, if you look on the side here, the Mesor Shasar, it brings down, Nukme Ben Heichal Betzafon, Kasavar Kedushat Heichal Ulam Chado. So what? He thinks that the Ulam and the Eichal are one Kedusha. So that means that the Petach Ulam is what matters here. So let's think about that again. If the Mizbeach starts going north from the midpoint of the Azara, it means that the first 10 Amot are opposite the Petach Ulam, because the Ulam's doorway is 20 Amot wide, 10 of those are in the north. It means the first 10 Amot of the Mizbeach are opposite the doorway. You can't put the Kior there. But north of that point, after the first 10 Amot, you should be able to put it between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. For the next 22 Amot to the north, you should be able to place the Kior between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. You can see that in page 6 of the Mikko wrote. And that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. I'm a krat tzafona. That tzafona is only for shechita, and there can be no kelim in the northern part of the mikdash. So if you have that, now when the mizbeach sits on the northern side of the heichal, well, you can't place the kior opposite the first 10 amot or 5 amot, depending what you think is the petach omoed. If it's the ulam, it's the first 10 amot. If it's the heichal, that's the first 5 amot. There, you need the mizbeach to be opposite the doorway. Well, if that's the case, where else could you put the kior? You could put the kior north of that. But we just said that you can't place any kelim in the north side of the Azara. It has to be cleared. Well, now where are you going to place the kiyar? So if you look on page 7, you can see, or the diagram on the page 7, you can see that they had to put the kiyar south of the Mizbech. And that's what Rabbi Yosef Galili's opinion is. Rabbi Yosef Galili's opinion is that the Mizbech so stood solely in the north. It was all in the north. And the reason that the kiyar had to move south of that is because there's nowhere to place the kiyar. You cannot place the kiyar between the Mizbech and the Petach HaMoed. If you go north of that, you're under the restriction of that kelim cannot be placed in the north. So that means the only way you could place it is slightly south of the Mizbeach. Slightly south of the Mizbeach is exactly what Rabbi Yosef Galili described, that it's Mashuch Kim'at, pulled a little south. It sits between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, in the area that would have been between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, but it's not literally between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, because there's no way to do that. So therefore we see that Rabbi Yosef Galili is of the opinion that Kulei B'tzal phone. If that's the case, Rabbi Yosef Galili could be the author of our mission that discusses where the Ma'arach HaShnia HaShel K'toret is placed. So that gives us our third option as to who is the author of that Mishnah. We first was Rabbi Yossi, was one possibility, because he says Kolei Mizbeach B'Tzafon. Second possibility was Rabbi Yehuda, says Memutzai, and we changed the way we counted the four Amot. And the last possibility here is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who also thinks that Kolei Mizbeach B'Tzafon. So therefore, he could also be the author of this Mishnah. It does not have to be Rabbi Yossi. So now, Gemara says, Mantana de Palagalei de Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Who argues on Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that Kolei Mizbeach B'Tzafon? It's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Tzafona. She'e Tzafon panui miklum. When it said Tzafon, it means that the entire north must be cleared out of everything. Va'afilu min ha-mizbeach. Even the Mizbeach. That means the Mizbeach cannot be in the north at all. That means that the Mizbeach is sitting, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, kulo bidorom. It's entirely in the south. And that's why we had an opinion like that before, which was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, which we had on the first Amud in the parak, that he must have held it was in the realm of Azara. So here, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, saying that the Mizbeach entirely was situated in the south of the Azara. And he's about Plukta, Rabbi Yossi Glili, who says it's Kulei B'Tzafon. So we actually have a number of opinions that are laid out here. We've seen the opinions of Mimutzam, which is Rabbi Yehuda, seen the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and we saw earlier in the Masechta Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who thinks the Mizbeach is Kulei B'Tzafon, is all in the north. And now we have the opinions of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who say that it's Kulei B'Dorom. We have those three opinions, either in the middle, Kulei B'Tzafon, or Kulei B'Dorom. Turns out in the Gemara in Yoma, there's also another opinion, which is the Tana de Mido, which sounds like Rubo B'Dorom. The rove of the Mizbeach was actually found in the Darom. I sent out, if you want to look, I sent out a summary of all the Shitot with regards to the Mizbeach, and there I included that Shita of Ruba Darom. There there's Machloket Geonim Rishonim as to where that location was in the Darom. And the Rabbeinu Chananu also brings in one other opinion, which was there was a Mizbeach Kulei B'Tzafon. It's a very difficult opinion because we don't find any Tanaim that have that opinion. But in the Gemara and Yoma, the Rabbeinu Chananu mentions this opinion, there's a Kulei B'Tzafon. And there you have a spectrum of opinions as to where the Mizbeach was located. All the way from Kulei B'Tzafon to Rube B'Tzafon, Timim Mutza in the middle, then Ruba B'Darom, and all the way to fully in the Darom. And through that whole span, you'll have different opinions about where the Mizbeach was located based on the Rishonim and how they view how far or into the north or the south that the Mizbeach was. So now, Amar Rav, Mizbeach shenifgam, kol ha-kodashim shenishtachatu sham psulim. Mizbeach that somehow went out of service, any kodashim that were shechted are pasul. Mikrahu biyadenu, we had a pasuk, I had a pasuk that proved this, v'shachnu, and I forgot it. Kisalik Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana went to Eretz Yisrael, ashkele Rav Shimon b'Rebbe, he found Rebbe's son, Rabbi Shimon, the kamar mishum Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, he was quoting the name of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, minayin l'mizbeach shenifgam, kol ha-kodashim shenishtachatu sham psulim. How do I know that any mizbeach that's not in fully in service, there's some problem with it, then any kodshim that are shechted are no good. Shenemar. It says, V'zavachta alav et olotecha ve'et shelamecha. So the pasuk that we used earlier to discuss the fact that the Mizbeach, where it was situated, either kulo ola, kulo shlamim, or chetzi ola, chetzi shlamim. That was machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. So the pasuk says, V'chi alav et azavech? Maybe zavachta alav, you're shechted on the Mizbeach. Maybe you can, but we don't usually shecht on the Mizbeach. Ella, kushalim, when the Mizbeach alav can be used for what's on it, I mean that's in function, then you can have olotech and shlamecha. V'lok shu chaser, but that's not true when the Mizbeach is not in function. Amar hainu krad ishtamid le'd rav. Rav Kahana says, that's the pasuk that Rav was looking for. Now I heard from Shimon Rebbe, I can take it back to him. And Tosfos was pointing out that even though earlier on we had mentioned v'zavachta alav et olotech v'et shlamecha, that we already darshan that pasuk to mean really, literally, that they brought the korban on the mizbeach, and here the Gemara seems to be rejecting that outright. He says, "Afgav de'el d'shina lav mamash hocha dayik mishom de zavachta alav mashma shemitzvah lizvach alav." Not only are you permitted to do the zvicha, but they're being medayik of the fact that it sounds like that's the preferential way to do it—to actually do the zvicha on top of the mizbeach. And that's where the Gemara is drawing the question: does it make any sense to do that on top of the mizbeach? Rabbi Yochanan Amar echad ziv echad ziv psulin. They're both pasul. What do you mean both pasul? He means korbanot that were shechted when the mizbeach was out of service are problematic, and even korbanot that are shechted after the mizbeach is brought back into service is problematic. If they were willing to go on the mizbeach, ready to be shechted when the mizbeach was out of service, and now they're coming back into service, the mizbeach is in service and they want to shecht them, you can't do that according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi says, "Vamai plige." Why does Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Rav? Rav suggested that the only problem is shechting the animals when the mizbeach is out of service, but once it comes back into service, no problem, you can shecht anything that was there. Rav savar balay chayim eina nidachim. Rav believes that when it comes to live animals, then you cannot push them away. Meaning that if there was some problem along the way that would suspend their ability to be brought as karbanot, we don't say by balei chayim, by living animals, that they are nidach, they're pushed away from the mizbeach. That's not true, and we've seen this earlier in the Masechta as well as in the Gemara in Yoma, the discussion about what is called nidach. Nidach means something that was ready to go to the mizbeach, but for some reason or some variable it's unable to be brought, and then that variable clears up and you want to bring it. And that's called nidche. That was nirit, it was ready to go on the mizbeach, nidche, they reached a point in time where it was impossible to get on the mizbeach, and then nirit, and it became available again. So Rav says that when it comes to balei chayim, einem dachim. Rabbi Yochanan savar, balei chayim nidachim. Then Rabbi Yochanan believes does that live animals do get pushed away, they do get nidach. And now we can explain Rabbi Yochanan's opinion here. Rabbi Yochanan says when the mizbeach was out of service, not only are the animals that are actually shechted when the mizbeach out of service problematic, but they are also the animals that were around and could have been shechted at the time become problematic. Because they're nidach. They were roi to on the mizbeach, and then something happened to suspend their ability to put on the mizbeach. That's called nidach, being pushed away. And then you can no longer put them on the mizbeach. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Meitevei, kol ha-kodoshim shayu ad shelo nivnei ha-mizbeach. That any kodashim that were there before the mizbeach was built, and then the mizbeach is built, they are psulim, which again sounds like Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara says, "Nivne dechuyim mikaraninhu." We're talking about nivne is not the case that we're speaking about here, where the mizbeach is there, it's just not in function at the time. That's called dechuy. This is a case where it's dechuyim mikara. The time that you were mekadesh these animals, there was no mizbeach at all, and that's dechuyim mikara. If you want to talk about dechuyim mikara, we have a machlokas in other places where there is dechuyim mikara or not, and you could solve that from here. You would know from this braita that it's dechuyim mikara is kshmei dechuy. So that can't be what we're speaking about here. Tosfos actually takes up the issue and asks whether this also applies to Rabbi Yochanan or not. The Gemara just, out of hand, says, "Ah, dachoy meikara ninhu," and that's not what we're talking about. The truth is that Rabbi Yochanan himself does believe in dachoy meikara. And his large Tosfos, Ad Shalom, Nivnei Mizbeach, discusses Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and that's how he reconciles Rabbi Yochanan's opinion with other memorot of Rabbi Yochanan. For instance, that if you do shechita b'chutz, when there is no Mizbeach, you're still chayav. So why should it be that you're chayav yidu shechita b'chutz because it's dachoy me'ikara? It's dachoy me'ikara, it's not ro'oy lepetach chol moed. It's not ro'oy lepetach chol moed, why are you chayav b'chutz? Tosfos has to reconcile something that he's mentioned in other places, that there are different types of dichoy. There's a dichoy which is b'yadol ha'takein, that you have the ability to change that status, and that is not called dichoy. On the other hand, there is a dichoy which you have no ability to change, and that is really called dichoy over here. So the difference will be in what type of dichoy we're speaking about. When you have control, when you have the ability to rectify the situation, like here where you could build the mizbeach, that's not really called dochei mikara, that it would be eliminated. Dochei mikara is where you have absolutely no control over the situation. The Gemara continues, okay, so let's reread it to read, ad shelo neheras ha-mizbeach. So let's say before the mizbeach is destroyed. So neheras, what do you mean before? The assumption here is that we're talking about in the bayit rishon, that these were kodshim that were nitkadesh before the mizbeach was destroyed. Now they're destroyed, now we're rebuilding the mikdash, and we want to know if we can bring them again. So it sounds like that. Psulim, they're no good. Again, that sounds like Rabbi Yochanan, that the psula is not that they were shechted when there was no mizbech, but that they were nitkadesh before there was a mizbech. Now they come back, and we're trying to bring them when there is a mizbech. The Gemara says, a'ayiskin lehu. Why is that even a question? You're talking about the time from the destruction of Bayit Rishon, the time of Bayit Sheni. Those animals will be way too old to be put on the mizbech. Zakeinut, or as being a zakein, is a psul, a mum, in an animal that's been brought on the mizbech. So that'll be a problem. Forget about anything to do with kedusha or no mizbech. They're too old. Ella, the way to read this right is Achal Nifgama Mizbeach. Before the Mizbeach was ruined somehow, it was damaged, went out of service. Bacharkach Nifgam, they were Nitkadesh before it went out of service, and then they were still around when the Mizbeach was damaged and went out of service. Psulim, then they're Pasul, and that's exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. Velo Terutze Karmetaritzta. Wait a minute, you're fixing up this Braita because the Braita doesn't make any sense according to all the different readings. Ema Shenishchatu. If you're already fixing up this Braita, you know the Braita is wrong to start with. If you're already amending it, amend it also to read Nishchatu. Then it'll fit into my position, Rav says. If you want to amend it to fit into Rabbi Yochanan, I can amend it to fit into me. And we'll add in the word Nishchatu. That's the problem here. It's not just the problem that you need Kadesh, but also Nishchatu. And that's why Tosfos again asks, this sounds from the flow of the Gemara that this is even Rabbi Yochanan has a problem and has to amend the Braita. Even though technically, Nivne, Rabbi Yochanan could have read it because he believes in Dachoy Meikara. Nevertheless, it seems like the Gemara rejects it. And that's why Tosfos says there are two different types of Dichoy, and the one that we're speaking about here is not the one where Rabbi Yochanan says, Dichoy Meikara Havi Dichoy. Va'amar Rav Gidol Marab, Mizbeach Shneakar, Makterin Ktor Bimkomo. Where it says, wait a minute, are you so certain that when the Mizbeach was out of service, you're not allowed to do the Avodah and the Mikdash? I have a statement from Rav Gidol Marab that says that Mizbeach, even when it's disappeared, you can still bring the Ketoret in the Mizbeach where the Mizbeach was located. There's no Mizbeach there, but in the place of the Mizbeach. Kedama Rava, so there we can answer up. Like Rava says, which is going to be the next sugya we do with this Rabbi Yehuda, is Modai Rabbi Yehuda B'damim. Rabbi Yehuda agrees by Damim, that'll be the Gemara's next question of who this Rabbi Yehuda is. Hachanami, but our case, Modai Rabbi B'damim. Rabbi agrees when it comes to Dam, Dam must end up on the Mizbeach. So if there is no Mizbeach there, you can't do any of the Matnot Dam, you can't do the Korbanot. On the other hand, the Ketoret can be done even though the Mizbeach is not there. In the Malkom HaMizbeach is sufficient by Ketoret, that you don't actually need the physical Mizbeach. And that's how we reconcile between the two positions of Rav. One position of Rav, where he says that you can be makriv, even though the Mizbeach is not there, that's talking about Ketoret. The other opinion where Rav says that Mizbeach Shenifgam is put out of service, and anything that's checked at that time is Pasul, that's about time for Damim, for blood. When it comes to the Matnot Dam, that is Pasul, and that is problematic. So now the Gemara asks, my Rabbi Yehuda. Rav has said over here, just like Rabbi Yehuda agrees, so too Rav will agree that when it comes to service with the Dam, that is problematic when the Mizbeach is Nifgam, as opposed to the Ketoret. Where do we get the Rabbi Yehuda from? Titania, because you have a Braita. Bayomahu Kidash Hamelech et Toch HeChatzer. On that day, the king was Mekadesh the Chatzer, means the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. Ki Mizbach HaNechoshet Asher Lifnei Hashem, because the Mizbach HaNechoshet, which was the one from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Katon Me'achil, was too small to carry all the Karbanot that were brought. Here, Shlomo HaMelech is bringing Karbanot in the Chanukata Mizbeach, Chanukata Bayit, of the Beit HaMikdash, and he runs out of space on the Mizbeach. So when he ran out of space on the Mizbeach, he expanded and he's Mekadesh the entire floor of the Chatzer, and they brought the Karbanot as if that was a Mizbeach. Omer says, Devarim Kichtavam Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes that that's literally what happened here. There literally was not enough space. They had to upgrade the Mizbeach, so they upgraded by making the whole Azara Ro'ui Liot Mizbeach. Amar Lai Rabbi Yose, how could you say such a thing? Alo Kvar Nemar, doesn't it already say earlier in Melachim by Shlomo Melech, when he brought the Karbanot on the Bama, Gedola in Oven Givon, it says, Elef Olot Yaleh Shlomo Al Mizbeach Ahu. In the Givon, when he brought the Karbanot, there he brought 1,000 Karbanot on the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. The Mizbeach HaNechoshet, which was found in Oven Givon, was the Mizbeach HaNechoshet from time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and on that Mizbeach he was able to bring 1,000 Karbanot. And then here by Beit Olamim, by us in Perek Chen, when he's doing the Chanukata Mizbeach, it says about Shmolom HaMelech, who omer, Vayizbach Shlomo et Zevach Shlamim, Asher Zevach LaShem, he brought all the Shlamim to Hashem, Bakar 22,000 Melech, 22,000! Now, Shata Magil Cheshbon Olot, Uleminyan Amot, Zegadom Izeh. And when you get to the actual counting, it's clear that the size of the Maracha in the Beit HaMikdash was significantly greater than the size of the Maracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, and significant enough that it would encompass the number of olot that you just upgraded. If you actually look at the handouts it gave out on page 8, you can see this being laid out. As Rashi tells us over here, the Mizbeach Nechoshet Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah describes as being 5 by 5. So the idea here is the 5 by 5 is actually the Amaha Karnot. That's the span of the Mizbeach where the Karnot, where the corners are. The Mizbeach Moshe does not count the Yisod. Does not count the Yisod and does not count the Sovev. That's outside, and the Gemara will discuss that on Samach Bet. That's outside of the actual area that's described by the Torah as being the Mizbeach. mizbeach. So you have a mizbeach that's 5x5. You have the one amah around in circumference, that's the karnot. Then you have an additional amah, which is the makom hiluch raglei kohanim, where the kohanim walk around. If I take up two amot from each side, one amah for the karen and one amah for the makom raglei kohanim, what's left in the middle is an amah by an amah. You have amah racha from the mizbeach of Moshe that was just 1x1. Now I go to the mizbeach of Shlomo. By the mizbeach of Shlomo, it's described based on the Mishnah Midot and Perik Gimel Mishnah Aleph, according to Rabbi Yossi. The mizbeach of Shlomo Melech had a maracha that was 20x20. The actual mizbeach of Shlomo Melech was 28x28. That means if I take away one amah for the yisod, one amah for the silvev, one amah for the karnot, and one amah for the makom raglei kohanim, basically I'm taking out four amot from each side, four amot from each side, subtract eight, that means the maracha was 20x20. So if I take the mizbeach of Shlomo at 20x20 was the maracha, the center location of that mizbeach where they did the haktara, that's 400 square amot, the size of the makom maracha, versus the mizbeach of Moshe, which had one square amah. So it's 400 times the size. Now you have a pasuk that tells us on the mizbeach of Nechoshet of Moshe, they put up 1,000 olot that Shlomo brought his karbonot. On the mizbeach of the Mikdash, it says that he had to bring 22,000 karbonot. Well, that's 22 times the amount. Well, if you have a mizbeach that's 400 times the size of the one of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're only bringing the number of olot being 22 times, it should certainly fit on the mizbeach. And that's Rabbi Yossi's claim. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't understand, Rabbi Yehuda, your position. You're saying that literally they had to upgrade the mizbeach because there was no room, and therefore they had to be makdish the whole area of the Azara. How could that be true? We now have a mizbeach that's 400 times the size of the mizbeach Nechoshet Moshe. In Moshe's time, it was an amah by an amah, and here you have 20x20. Clearly, there's enough space for them to do the karbanot. And that's what it says here. If you take shatam agila cheshbon olot, when you go to olot, that's 22 times. Ulumina amot, the maracha is 400 times. Zegadol mizeh. The maracha is greater or bigger than the capacity needed to do the karbanot of 22,000. Elumahu katan me'achil. So Rabbi Yossi, how does he explain that it means it was too small to take it? Kadama over chomerio. Like a person says to his friend, ploni nanasu. That guy's a midget. Now, what does it mean that he's a midget? Pasul levoda. There's something wrong with this individual. He wants to say it, but he says it in a Lashon Nekiyah. He doesn't want to offend him, so he says, yeah, that person's a midget, meaning that that person is Pasul Le'avodah. So over here, when it says Mekatan Me'achil, that's not talking about the Mizbeach of Shlomo Melch, that's not about the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. In a nice way, it's saying that the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, that of Moshe Rabbeinu, is going out of service over here. And the new Mizbeach of Shlomo is going into service. So Mekatan Me'achil is not about the Mizbeach of Shlomo, but rather about the Mizbeach of Moshe of Nechoshet. So Mara says, Yehuda, Shapir Kamer Rabbi Yossi. How does Rabbi Yehuda keep his position as such? Because what Rabbi Yossi said to him, and the question raised by Rabbi Yossi, is pretty significant. If the Mizbeach of Shlomo is 400 times the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, it certainly can handle the karbanot. Why do they have to go onto the floor? Rabbi says, no problem, Rabbi Yehuda the Tamei. Rabbi Yehuda is according to his own reasoning. The Amar, Mizbeach Shasa Moshe Gadol Haya. Mizbeach that Moshe made was actually bigger than you think. The Tanya, Chamesh Amot Orech, Chamesh Amot Rochav. It says it's 5x5 in the Chumash. Devarim Kechtavam. Are we to read it literally how it's written, which means that's a 5x5 mizbeach. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, and then Rabbi Yossi says, yes, that's the way you do it. It's a 5x5. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ne'amar Kan Ravua, V'Ne'er Ragadachan Ravua. It says by the mizbeach Achitzon Ravua, and it says further on Ravua. Further on, we're going to see in a second is a pasuk in Yechezkel. Malahalan Mebziato. Just like over there, when they did the counting of the size of the mizbeach, they were talking about from the center of the mizbeach. Hamodeid Avkan Mebziato. Hamodeid Modeid. Also over here, they're counting from the middle of the mizbeach. So that means that when you say that the mizbeach is 5x5 amot, it's not really. It's really 10x10 amot. It's 5 from the center to the north, 5 from the center to the south, 5 from the center to the east, 5 from the center to the west. If you do that, you end up with this mizbeach that is 10x10. So if I take now Rabbi Yehuda's mizbeach, that is 10x10, I can understand why he had a problem in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So the Gemara first discussed, V'hato minolon, how do we know from Yechezkel that's the case? Tichtiv, Ariel, 12 amah. It says about the Ariel, referring to the Mizbeach, says that it was 12 amot. L'chol ruach, in every direction, arbat revav, to its four sides. O'enu ela, you'd bet. Maybe it's 12x12. Shomer, El Arba'at Riva'av, when it says to its four directions, Malameid She'emsehu Modeid, he's actually going from the middle. So he's counting out from the middle 12 amot in each direction, which makes the Mizbeach actually 24x24. Yechezkel's Nevuah, speaking of Mizbeach, is 24x24. For our case, it has implications that if I say the Mizbeach is 5x5, do I mean it's literally an area of 5x5, 25 square amot? Or do I mean that it's 5 out in every direction? And that's what Rabbi Yehuda claims. It means 5 in every direction, which actually makes the Mizbeach 10x5. 10. So if that's the case now, if I look at the Mizbeach, 10 by 10 is describing the Mizbeach at the Makom HaKranot. Then if I take away one Amah for the Kranot, and one Amah for the Makom HaLuch Raglei HaKohanim, that's two Amot on each side. Two Amot on each side is four. So I have to subtract four from the length and the width. That means that a Mizbeach that started out being 10 by 10 has a Maracha in the middle that's 6 by 6. Well, Maracha 6 by 6 is 36 square Amot. Relative to the Mizbeach Shlomo, which is 20 by 20 in the middle, 400 cubic, so now I have 400 divided by 36, and that turns out to be about 11 times, a little over 11.1 times the amount. So the Mizbeach Shlomo is about 11.1 times bigger than the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that would explain why there was a problem with the Karbanot. On the Mizbeach of Moshe, they brought 1,000 Karbanot. That's an area of 6 by 6. They come up to Yerushalayim, and they're going to bring the Karbanot on the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech. Over there, it says the Shri Mishnah HaMelech, there's 22,000 Karbanot brought. Well, that's 22 times. So 22 times is the number of Karbanot, and that's greater than the 11.1 times that the Mizbeach is bigger. So now we ran into a problem. That's why we viewed it as a problem. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech was literally mitkadesh the floor of the Azara in order to bring Karbanot even on the floor of the Azara. Rabbi Yossi ki gamar gzeres shava begovohu de gamir. Now what does Rabbi Yossi do with the gzeres shava ravua ravua? He uses that for the height of the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach is said to be shlosh amot kamato, only 3 amot high. Divarim kichtavam divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that's literally. The Mizbeach was only 3 amot high. Rabbi Yossi mer, nemar kan ravua, v'nemar lahalan ravua. It says over here squared. And it says over there squared, malalan govho pishnaim kerako. Just like by the Mizbeach HaZahav, that's described as being square, its height is twice its length or width, because the Mizbeach is 1 by 1, 2 amot high. So the vertical measurement of the Mizbeach is 2 times the horizontal or vertical measurement of the Mizbeach HaZahav. So if we apply that to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, we know that the Mizbeach HaChitzon is 5 by 5. If I take the length and the width being 5 and 5, then if I double that to get the height, I would get 10 as being the height. So Rabbi Yossi says that the Mizbeach HaChitzon was 10 amot high and 5 by 5 amot. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says no, that the Mizbeach is actually 10 by 10, but it's only 3 amot high. So that's the machlokes here. Detanya, we have a bright shlosh amot komato dvarim kichtavam divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Biosi omer nemar kan ravua, nemar lahan ravua, malahalan govo pishnaim kerako, afkan pishnaim kerako. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Efshar Kohen Omeid Gabi Mizbeach Vavodab Yado V'Cholam Roim Oto Mivachutz. It says, according to you, Rabbi Yossi, I don't understand. According to you, that the Mizbeach is 10 amot high, then when the Kohen goes up to do the Avod on the Mizbeach, he's only surrounded by the Kalei HaChatzer, which are 5 amot high. Well, if the Kalei HaChatzer are only 5 amot high, then you can see him above. He's going to be standing way above the Kalei HaChatzer, and everybody's going to be watching the Kohen do Avodah. That's not Sanuah, that's not proper. Amalo Rabbi Yossi, alo kvar ne'amar. Doesn't it already say the Kalei HaChatzer at Masach Shar HaChatzer? It's talking about the Kalei HaChatzer which surround the courtyard of the Mishkan. Those Kalei HaChatzer, it says about them, Kalei HaChatzer at Masach Shar HaChatzer, asher la Mishkan v'la Mizbeach. Ma Mishkan and Yud Amot, just like the Mishkan is 10 Amot high, af Mizbeach Yud Amot. Ve'omer, and it says about the Kleim, it says about these weavings that go around the outside of the courtyard, Chameshes Re'ama, Ama ala Katef. They're 15 amot high. So not are they 5 amot high, they're 15 amot high. Now this is a very difficult Gemara. Tosfos asks a question over here about this. Tosfos points out over here that there is no such pasuk that says that the Kalei HaChatzer were 15 amot high. That pasuk, and it's clear from the context in which it's written, is telling you about the width of the areas that to the side of the entranceway to the Chatzer of the Mishkan. The Chatzer, as it came around the sides, had 2 15 amot wide sides that came out, the Kalei HaChatzer, and then there was a middle piece that was 20 amot wide that covered up the doorway that stuck out in front of the Kalei HaChatzer and used to enter from the side, so there was no direct straight-in entrance from that side. But it's clear that the Kalei HaChamesh is talking about their width and not their height. So Tosfos changes the girsa here, as well as in the Gemara and Erevin, to read differently, which is that the Ma Mishkan Yudamot Af Mizbeach Yudamot. And then it skips, not Vomer Kalim Chamesh Yisrei Amai La Katef, it leaves that out altogether. And then it says, it brings down a Perusha. It's saying that we know that they're 50 Amot high. Why? Because Matamon are He Amot. And that's just an explanation. How do we know they're 5 Amot high? And that comes to explain to us, Misfad Mizbeach Lamalo. And that's the answer of the Gemara. Not, we know that the Pasuk explicitly says that they are 5 Amot high. And over here we're saying that they're 10 amot high. So to reconcile, it just says that the 5 amot sit above the 10 amot. But not that they're indicating here that any pasuk indicates that they were 15 amot high, because that does not exist. And therefore, Tosfos takes that out of the Girsa, because it's a very difficult part of the Girsa. But the Gemara in Erevin, he has other ways to read it as well, including suggesting that the 15 amot was the height all the way around, based on the limud that we have here, that it's 5 amot above the Mizbeach. But the doorway, which was 20 amot wide, was also 20 amot high. And because it says v'chamesh amot, that chamesh amot is above the height of all the other Kalea Chatzer, and therefore it was 20 amot high, and he says that would make a lot of sense now, because that would be what the Petachal would have looked like. He would have had 20 amot wide, and then you have 20 amot high to make it into a big broad doorway. That would be the area that the screen covered. But be that as it may, that would solve our problem over here. Yes, the Mizbeach is 10 amot high, but the Kalea Chatzer 15 amot high, and that's what covers. That gives him the tzniut. That's why he could be up that high and not be seen by the outside. Umatam alomar hay amot. So then why does the Torah say 5 amot high by the Kalea Chatzer? That's the amount that exceeds the Mizbeach. Kalea Chatzer really 15 amot high. The first 10 amot are equal to Mizbeach. There's an additional 5 amot that are above the Mizbeach. So the Torah describes the Kalea Chatzer as being 5 amot high. That means it's 5 amot above the top of the Mizbeach. Then why does the Torah say that it's 3 amot high? According to you, Rabbi Yosef, who thinks the Mizbeach is really 10 amot high, why does the Torah say it's 3 amot high? That's from the Soveiv and above. If you remember the pictures of the Mizbeach that we've been speaking to about, that we've shown until now, that the Soveiv goes around 6 amot up on the Mizbeach. There's a Soveiv, an area where the Kohanim can walk around to do the Matnot Dam Milamala. That Soveiv is 6 amot off the ground. How far is it from the top of the Mizbeach? It's 3 amot. Now, truthfully, the Mizbeach is 10 amot high, but that includes the Karnot. The Karnot are an Amah high by themselves. The actual Mizbeach that you're Maktir on is only 9 amot off the ground. Well, 6 of those amot are up to the Soveiv. From the Soveiv up until the top of the Mizbeach, those are 3 amot. And that's what it means, Shlosh amot komato. V'Rabbi Yehuda, ki gamar gzera shava berechavahu de gamir. Rabbi Yehuda, when he learns the gzera shava, he learns it about the length and the width. For the top of the Mizbeach, he learns the Rabu Ayi to teach him that it's not really 5 by 5, but it's 5 in each direction, meaning it's 10 by 10. Well, Rabbi Yehuda, ha kamit chazei koin. What about Rabbi Yehuda? Why isn't the koin seen? The Mizbeach, according to him, is 3 amot high. The Kalei HaChatzer are 5 amot high. You're right, the top of the head of the coin can be seen. But the avoda can't be seen. The true, the Mizbeach is 3 amot high. And the Kalei HaChatzer only go up 5 amot, which means there's 2 amot above the top of the Mizbeach. That won't be a problem because the person, yes, is taller than 2 amot. The person's 3 amot tall, but his avoda and what he has in his hands will not be visible to the outside. And that's how we'll solve the problem.